Hey, hello. My name is Brett, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. And I say just for today because as of today, I have no desire to eat compulsively. That obsession has been lifted, at least just for today. So I got today. The tale I would like to tell, I'd like to give you my story of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I also like to say I am an extremely high bottom compulsive overeater, which I think is interesting. I've never got diabetes. I never was so overweight to where I couldn't get out of a chair or couldn't walk. A lot of bad stuff I guess kind of lucked out on. I'm five, just to give you some stats, I'm 5'5". And right now I'm currently at about 163 pounds, 162 pounds. My highest weight was 179 pounds, which doesn't really sound like much. But to qualify in a different way, it's like I could definitely eat myself stupid if I wanted to. So it's like I could eat just as much as everyone else in this room. So I definitely qualify as the compulsive overeater, the guy that once he starts, he just can't stop. So I'm definitely one of those people. So what it was like growing up. I come from a family where my father is a an alcoholic, who's also recovered, and my mom has a black belt in Al-Anon. So I definitely heard a lot of program material growing up. I'm lucky to say I wasn't a heavy set child. I was extremely hyperactive, so we always had binge foods inside the house when I was growing up. When I was 5, 6, 7 years old, we always had the binge foods. But luckily for me, being a hyperactive child, I would run around so much that I was probably burning it all off. So I was eating, and then I would just run like crazy, run over the friend's house, run across the street, run here, run there. And I was probably doing a lot of exercising, I guess, that way. If we kind of skip forward to a little bit, I kept, my story in a way of growing up. It was pretty normal. I had a very love come from a very loving home. Both my mother and father, including my older brother, very loving household. Things seem pretty normal at home. So if we kind of skip to where, I'd like to really start, it's like, where did it start getting kind of bad? Because for me, a lot of my life, things weren't really that bad until later in life, it started getting kind of bad, where my compulsive overeating started taking off. I believe I was born a compulsive overeater. I just had the feeling, I think for a lot of us, we're born compulsive overeaters. It's just, well, when is it going to start getting bad? It might not get bad early, and then it starts building up more and more until it starts getting pretty bad. And that's exactly what happened with me. So where it started getting pretty bad was I was actually in college, and how old was I? So yeah, I guess up to the age of 20, maybe 19, 20, I kind of kept it together as far as my food, just kind of keeping my weight down through dieting and exercise. But then once I hit 18, 19, that's where things started getting kind of bad in terms of, they say when you get to college, you get the freshman 15. Well, I lost 15 pounds, but I went to a 3-year college, and the last 2 years, that's where it started getting kind of bad. Where I'd find myself going to the cafeteria a lot, and just, instead of ordering like one sandwich, like a normal person, I'd order two sandwiches. So that's where, and have them put all the fixins on the sandwich. Where all my friends, they weren't really doing that, and especially seeing my friends eat. They would eat a lot slower than me, where me, I'd just shovel it down pretty quick. And yeah, I mean, that's obviously that in itself wasn't so good. I got out of college, and probably went to the age of, I don't know, it must have been like 26, 27. I think that's when I kind of came into OA. And for me, like I said, I'm a really high bottom compulsive overeater, which in a way it was like, well, how did I even know that I was a compulsive overeater? And how did I know I belonged here? I mean, for me, it was just waking up every morning and realizing, like, I don't want to keep living this way. Like, I don't want to have to keep, I don't want to keep stuffing my face, the night before, waking up the next morning and feeling horrible about it, because we all get the, I'll never do this again, routine. We always say, send that prayer up to God a bunch of times of God, please get me out of this. I'll never do it again. And then I ended up doing it again. I'd end up just starting right all over again. And so I came into OA. Obviously my mother is my mom's also in OA. So that's kind of how I got the whole thing of coming to OA. My mom would always say to me, why don't you go into OA if you seem like you have a problem? I mean, only we can decide if we have the problem. I mean, sometimes other people point it out, but really, I'm the one that has to admit something's wrong and get help. So I came in and I got a sponsor, and I worked through the 12 steps, and I kind of rushed through the 12 steps. And especially on my fourth step, I didn't really do a fourth step, a really good fourth step, too well, because I'm also in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd been in that program for a pretty long time, 11 years. So I figured, I'm like, well, I already did all the steps in AA. I don't need to do all this stuff in OA. I don't need to take another inventory. So I lied to my sponsor and I'm like, yeah, I don't have any resentments. I'm good. So we kind of went through that way. And at the end of that, I was holding, for a little while, I was holding on, kept my weight down. I got my weight down to probably like, I'd say 140 pounds, which is, yeah, I was pretty thin. So I did that, and then after a while, I would slip up every now and then. I'd keep slipping up. Slip ups would become plunges, to where it's like you're not just slipping up once in a while. You're slipping up almost like every day. I'd say I was a weekend warrior at times. Sometimes I'd try to be good during the week, then on the weekend I'd go totally crazy, and I'd have to admit it to my sponsor. My sponsor was also a lawyer too, so he definitely loved to argue. He was one of those guys that would try to, it's like, well, what's going on here, and try to argue it with me. So eventually I fired that sponsor, just realizing, well, maybe I need a different person here. So I ended up getting a second sponsor, and we went big book style through the whole thing. That wasn't a bad, wasn't a bad sponsor. We worked, I actually worked a proper fourth step with the person, and I kept that together pretty well. My story involves a lot of like coming in, going out, coming in, going out, where it's like you're in, you're doing well, then you start slipping up, taking the plunge into like compulsive overeating again, and then going back out and like, yeah, this just isn't working. So I had the second sponsor, realized things just weren't working, too well with me, and then just kind of went back out again. And I also, in between getting the second sponsor and currently my third sponsor, who's actually in this meeting, who's a wonderful person, I tried the therapy route. I tried the psychology route, which the psychology route was, I'm not knocking it. I know it's more of an outside issue, but it was intuitive eating. And I tried that route. What do we got? 10 minutes? Yep, no problem. I tried that route of the intuitive eating, which you can have anything you want, as much as you want, just when you feel like you're getting sort of satisfied, then you need to stop. But all of my binge foods were pretty much on the table, during this intuitive eating of if you want this type of binge food, yeah, just eat it. The whole intuitive eating thing was if you have enough of it, eventually you'll just get sick of eating it. That just did not work for me because I would have a lot of it and I would still not get sick of eating it. So, yeah, that one just worked for maybe like a month. And then I realized I'm like, yeah, this just isn't working. So, came back into OA, went to a, did meetings and everything. And meanwhile, to try to back up a little bit, during my first and second sponsor, I was sponsoring people. And then every now and then, you have what they call the dry spell where you're just not sponsoring anyone. No one's coming up to you. You don't find anyone in the meetings really that needs sponsoring. There's just not that many people. Sometimes it happens. You go through a dry spell for a little bit. So I came back into the rooms and I realized I'm like, yep, I don't know what to do, but I know I need a sponsor again because I was sponsorless. I fired the second sponsor. And I said to myself, well, I gotta get another sponsor. I can't just go to meetings and expect this to fit to fix this. It's not gonna work. They say it's great to go to meetings. It's great to hear the message. But it's not where, it's a place where I hear the message and not like necessarily get the message. So I say meeting makers make meetings, And so I met my sponsor. I would hear this one person in the current meeting I still go to, and it seemed like it was a good match. Person didn't have a sponsor, didn't have a sponsor, and they a sponsee, I'm sorry, and they were a sponsor. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should go with this person. So on my introduction call to the person, I remember saying, the person was asking me like, well, is there like a reason? Like, why do you want to do this? And I told the person, I said, I don't, I said, my only reason I can really come up with is I just want to stop feeling this way. It's not like I really don't have any other reason of, I'm afraid this is going to happen or that's going to happen because it really hasn't happened. But it's, I just don't want to keep waking up feeling like terrible. I just need to stop doing this. So that was enough. That was enough to get started. And my sponsor took me through the steps in a totally different way than the first and second sponsor. There was a lot of reading, a lot of writing this time. And when we were doing it, there were times where I would say to myself, like, oh gosh, this is a lot. Like, do I really need to do all this? Like, And but then, there was another side of me that would say, well, obviously it didn't work with the first two sponsors the way you did it. So maybe you should try something different here. So I ended up trying something different. And my story is a story of slips. I say slips and not plunges. I try not to make them plunges where it's like I've been at this for like a month, of just going crazy. But I've had some slips, and I think that's a lot of our stories is like we're not perfect. This program doesn't make me a monk or a nun or anything like that. It's like I still have good days and bad days, and I think one of the things that is very important in this program is out getting outside help when you need it. I think that's like if I could share one thing that has helped me the most in this program, really is just getting that outside help. Because I mean I feel like OA is wonderful to get the food together, but life is going to get lifey sometimes, I always say, when I was sponsoring people, I would say to the sponsee, I say, like, look, I can help you get your food together, but I'm not like an accountant that can help you like manage your finances perfectly. I'm not a psychologist, you know, so like there's certain things I just don't know. Like I've never experienced. I don't know how to handle your marriage. Like my marriage is falling apart. It's like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, yeah, you know, I'm married now, but it's like my marriage is great. So it's like, I don't know, you know. So I think, you know, for me especially, getting outside help, you know, I suffer from just general anxiety. And I've had moments, you know, yep. I've had moments in my life, especially now, when I'm dealing with certain things. And I'm just expecting OA to totally fix everything. Like, it's gonna be great. It's gonna fix everything. And I actually had to talk with my sponsor about that and say, maybe I should go back to my psychologist at least for, you know, at least do a session or two just to kind of like cool down the fire a little bit. 'Cause I get what they call imagination on fire. You know, the what if, what if, what if. I get a lot of that. And I'm sure a lot of the people in this room can relate to that of like the what ifs, you know. And sometimes I just need that outside help to kind of cool that down and get a better perspective, you know, especially when I get that outside help, talk to a psychologist, it helps me get a better perspective because I'm speaking to a professional. You know, that's the whole joke I make with my friends and sponsor even. It's like, yep, I could talk to my family about it. I could talk to my wife about it. They're all saying the same thing, but when I pay someone $20 for a psychologist session, they say the exact same thing and somehow it sticks. You know? So that's the whole joke, you know. My wife, whenever I tell her what I say at a psychologist appointment, she's like, you know, I could have told you that for free. I said, yeah, you could have told me that, but she definitely had a way of telling me that somehow stuck better, you know. So, like I said, to wrap this all up, it's hard to say how much time I actually have because I said I've had some slips, but I always try to judge a person in the rooms, not necessarily by the time they have, but the quality of life they're living. Because sometimes you can see someone in the rooms, it's like this person has 20 years and they're just a total a-hole. They're just like not happy in their life. They're fighting with people, you know, they're getting into arguments with people. You could just tell by looking at them, this person doesn't seem too happy. Then you got that person that's like 2 months sober. You know, they're still going through the steps, but you could see they have a smile on their face. They're happy in life. They're content. They're real peaceful. And it's like, you know, for me, if I was new, it's like, yeah, that's the guy I want to hook up with, you know, the 2 month guy. Look at him. Like, he's living it up now. You know, he's got like a decent life. You know, he's happy. He's content. You know, so like I always say, for now, like I said, I don't know how much time I have in terms of like how long I've been sober for, but I can say this, that for today, my obsession is lifted. And I do live a very peaceful, content, happy life. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. Hopefully I said something that'll mean something good for someone.